Every significant power in the earth is accompanied by a significant sign. There is nothing that is powerful that is not loud.
At Abba's House, we're reimagining church. Lead pastor Ronnie Phillips has a bright new vision for the future. Our kids' spaces are getting a makeover. Our students have fun and learn life lessons at the same time. Small groups for all ages help you get connected and find friends to do life with. Musical opportunities are available for every generation. And serving Chattanooga is our passion. Check us out online. Download our app. And come give us a try as we reimagine what church is. Come experience a house of grace. Come experience Abba's House.
Greetings, partners and friends. It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips Jr. here, lead pastor at Abba's House, founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. Today I'm going to be bringing you a message by one of my heroes, Pastor Ron Carpenter Jr. from San Jose, California. He came to my partners' conference here at Abba's House, man, and he turned this thing on its head, and he gave us divine revelation on what it means to release a sound. You know you can release a sound out of your mouth and it will bring revival. It can rewrite your destiny. God is in the midst of sound. You're going to learn about that today. I hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Tune in right now and see.
I feel a sense of assignment tonight, and I got to be honest, I don't feel that everywhere I go. Everybody can have my gift, but everybody can't have me. And tonight, I'm going to get out of releasing what's on me, and I want to pour. I sense you're in a very strategic place. If you would allow me to be so bold, I sense you're in a vulnerable place. Transitions are very vulnerable. In my marriage conference, I preach one whole hour on don't lose them in the turn. And I talk about when two people ride a motorcycle together, when they come to a curb, they both have to lean. And it's when you go through the turns is when you lose people. And there is a generational legacy transition taking place right here. I've just gone through a transition. And on the surface, it came across beautifully, but on the inside, there was a million chances to be offended. You have to get rid of ego. You have to get rid of everything to truly transition. And I want to speak what I believe God put in my heart. I can't do it in 30 minutes. I think I can do it in 45. But this is a participation message. In case you don't know me, you got to talk back to me. Okay? I don't do a monologue good. I do a dialogue. And the more you jaw back at me, the more I'll sweat. Hallelujah. But I've got something, and I want you to roll with me. I believe I've been sent here tonight for your pastors, and I believe I've been sent here tonight to speak a word into this transition. And I think there's a multiplication that is about to break out in this house. Can we clap our hands and agree on that? Turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you would. Genesis chapter 1. I plead the blood over this phone battery. You will hold up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I gave them some scriptures. The people here have been very diligent, but I've switched messages on them. And I just need you to jump around. So if you're in your smartphone, if you're in your iPad, or you brought the actual book, however you get there, I just need you to jump around with me in this scripture right here for just a moment. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 1:1. Okay? Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit whose seed is according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 16, then God made two lights, the greater to rule through the day, the lesser to rule through the night. And then verse 18, it said, it was good. Hallelujah. Verse 21, God created the sea creatures. At the end of 21, God said, it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth and the cattle according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Do you see what's happening right here in the creation account? God is creating things, and then he's stopping and blessing what he just created. So God is creating it, then he'll stop and he'll bless. There's nobody there to praise him, so he's praising himself. God is doing it, then he's stepping back and saying, you are a bad God. So God is creating it. There's nobody there to bless or praise him in what he's doing. So he stands back and speaks a blessing over the thing he just created. Go back to this verse with me right here. Go back to verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. Then verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament. Say that word, say firmament. In the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So now God's making a separation in the heavens and the earth. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Oh. Oh. And he moved right on. Why did every part of creation get the blessing but that? Everything he created it, it's good. He created it, it's good. He created it, it's good. He created a firmament, which was an expanse, and divided the heavenly waters from the earthly waters, and it's so, and he moved on. He created a realm called the firmament, and he refused to bless it. So he blessed every part of his creation but one. We're going to find out why, because that's where the revelation is. Father, bless the word that you're preaching tonight, and let it do a mighty work in this house. And everybody said amen in Jesus' name. Just roll with me here, Brother Terrence. I'm going to use you here in just a moment. Now, let me tell you the way I preach. I'm going to throw out about 5 truth bombs that look like they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And then I'll take the second part of my message, and I'll start tying all of them together, and all the little threads, I'll make a rope out of it. Amen. First of all, there was a difference between when you were created and when you were made. There's a difference. The Bible says that he made man. The word Adam means mud man, a man of the mud. There's a difference between when you were created and when you were made. The word made means to take one substance and turn it into something else. And when your mother and father got together, God made you a body. Your body is not you. Your body houses the real you. The Bible says you were created in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. I don't know how to explain this, but either in the mind of God and either in some heavenly existence, you were created before you ever got here. You were created and you existed in God before you ever was given a body in the earth. So this right here is not Ron. This right here houses Ron. And some of us have a little house. Some of us have a big house. Some of us have a skinny house. Some of us have a little bit thicker house. Come on, somebody. Some of us have a dark house. Some of us have a white house. Some of us have a brown house. My wife is a brick house. I don't know what kind of house you got, but everybody's got a different kind of house. Come on. This is not you. This is the house that you live in. And so I realized that when my mother and father came together, that was when God made Ron Carpenter a body, and that was the entrance of something from heaven coming into the earth. But I was created in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the earth. Now let me go on to part 2. Have you got that? Say amen. I feel like we're going to have a good time in here tonight. Hallelujah. Whenever God wants something, he doesn't speak to what he wants. He speaks to what holds it. He doesn't call out the thing. He calls out the thing that's holding the thing. God did not say, let there be sea bass, and let there be halibut, and let there be catfish. God said, let the waters bring forth. God didn't speak to the creature. He spoke to the water that held it. In other words, the water had potential for fish already in it, and he spoke to the water and told the water to turn loose what's already inside of you. God never spoke to all the fish. He told the water to give up what I've already put inside of you. God didn't say, let there be Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, and Mars. God said, let the heavens bring forth. In other words, I've already put the potential for the moon and the stars and the planets in the sky. Now let the heavens release its potential. Come on. God didn't say, let there be corn and potatoes and tomatoes and okra. God said, let the earth bring forth its seed and every herb according to its kind. In other words, God had already put the potential for everything that we eat in the ground. So he spoke to the ground and said, turn it loose. And he spoke to the waters and said, turn it loose. And he spoke to the sky and he said, turn it loose. God doesn't speak to what he wants. He tells what holds it to turn it loose. So when God got ready to make man, he said, let us make man in our image. In other words, he had a meeting with himself. So when God wanted to make man, he spoke to himself, and out I came, and out you came, and out you came. So in other words, we know that the earth had potential for the herb. We know that the sky had potential for the stars. We know that the water had potential for the fish, and God, I was God's potential. So when God spoke to himself, I came forth, and you came forth, and you came forth, and you came forth, because all of us were at one time God's potential. Are you still rolling with me? Now, if God speaks to the thing and it gives up what is already in it, then if God speaks to you, then that means that what God wants to do is not coming out of an air duct from the outside in. That means everything God wants to do in your life is already in you. And so when God speaks to you, what he's doing is commanding your spirit to turn loose. You have an anointing. That's the residency of the Holy Ghost. You have an anointing and you know all things. You know all things in your anointing, not in your head. But inside, your anointing knows everything about your past, your present, and your future. So when God speaks to you, let me tell you, God's blessings are not external. He doesn't bring them from the outside and mash them in. God goes to the inside and pushes them out because you already have an anointing and you already know all things. So tonight, may God speak to your spirit and your spirit start giving up what's already in it. Oh, I feel like God is going to cause some things to be released tonight in this place that have never been released before. Well, somebody who believes that, just shout amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, come on behind me right there. Yeah, I'm ready for a little bit of organ. Woo. Can I keep rolling? Now, you say, what does all this have to do with each other? Just hold on. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite there. Every significant power in the earth is accompanied by a significant sound. There is nothing that is powerful that is not loud. I fly all the time. It is amazing to me that two fans can move 600,000 pounds 550 miles an hour. But if you watch everybody working at the airport, what are they covering? Because everything that has great power is accompanied by a great. I've been out in the lumber yards and I see them using the chainsaws. And the chainsaw can bring down the mighty oak tree. But everybody has earplugs in their ears. Why? Because even that small device, it's great power. It is accompanied by a great. You can't take that sound all day long working with it. You have to cover your ears because it has great power and it has a great sound. You can see somebody riding down the road in a little four-cylinder car that gets 50 miles to the gallon. It doesn't have a lot of power and it doesn't make a lot of sound. But when you get somebody that's got a 68 Chevelle out there, big block 8, and they're going down there with the glass packs in there, they know that they've got a lot of horsepower because you can hear it coming a mile away. Anything with great power has great sound. I used to live with a train track right outside of my backyard, and I remember hearing the rumble of those tracks long before that train ever got there. and that diesel car could pull a mile of weighted cars, and everything that has great power has great sound. I was in one tornado, and I was in an ice box inside of a gas station where they kept all the beer and everything else hiding, and it came right over the top of the building, and it can lift a building off of its foundation. But I also remember the roar of its sound, and everything in the earth that has great power has great sound. Maybe that's why the enemy is trying to make our churches so quiet. Oh, I'm preaching that. Because if we can get our churches quiet, whenever you remove the sound, you remove the power. Do you understand? You are in charge. You are in charge of how much God you experience. This praise team is not in charge of how much God you experience. The preachers are not in charge of how much God you experience. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. If you want a revival, you are a revival. You don't get somebody here to start one. You don't fly me in here to start one. You're a revival all by yourself. Just open your mouth and make a sound. And if you give God a little praise, you're going to have a little God. But I came for some people that want to give God a great. And if you give God a great big praise, then God has a great big place to live. I'm going to give you 10 seconds for everybody that needs to see a great big God. Give him a great big. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, 5, 4, 3, 2. Woo. Hallelujah in this place. Tap your neighbor on both sides and say, he's a big God. He's a big God. He's a big God. If God inhabits my praise, then I am in charge of the dimension of God in my life. He fits in the dimensions of the praise that I give him. So church is not a place of the quiet. It's a place, let everything that have breath. You've got to take a deep breath. And you've got to give God your breath. Hallelujah. And when you give God that breath and you offer it up to him in praise, he comes in. What is the first thing he gave Adam? And when God says praise him, he wants you to turn around and give back to him what he's already given you. In other words, I gave you breath, now turn around and give your breath back to me and offer it in a praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. So every significant power is accompanied by significant sound. Now here's where we're getting somewhere. Sound precedes manifestation. It does not follow it. It goes before it. Now, I got a few amens out of that. Not many. But I got a few. And herein lies the reason why we wait on God to do so much that he wanted to do a long time ago. Your voice gives God legal entry in the earth. You've got to understand when it comes to a king, Jesus is a king. Okay? Jesus came to bring a kingdom. Okay? I make people so mad when I do this. I hope Brother Phillips still loves me after I say this. But we crowd together, and I do believe in a literal, physical second coming of Jesus. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you really read the Bible while we are huddling in circles in buildings behind stained glass windows, praying for Jesus to hurry up and come get us out of a world we don't like, while we're trying to get out of the earth, Jesus is desperately trying to get into it. Jesus didn't come to buy you a meal ticket to heaven. Jesus came to bring his kingdom into the earth. And when you talk about a kingdom, you talk about an extension of rule. Earth was never meant to operate apart from heaven. God put Adam in the earth to operate the earth just like God operated heaven. And he delegated authority over the earth. God owns it, but you ain't gonna like this. He put man in charge of it. The earth is on a lease. And soon the owner's gonna come and he's going to... He's going to repossess his property. But until then, he delegated authority unto man. He said, Matt, when a king speaks a thing, a king cannot even go back on his own word. And Jesus is a king coming to bring a kingdom. So if Jesus said, I put man in the earth to have to subdue it, have dominion, be fruitful, and multiply in it. If it is man's domain, then in other words, man has to give God legal entry into it. What if not, then Jesus could have saved us from heaven. Why did the word have to become flesh? He could have said, be saved. But God had to become a man because God delegated authority in the earth to man. So in the earth, God gives man his place to operate. So whenever God is going to do something, a sound has to be released. The first thing God created was not the heavens and the earth. The first thing God created was sound. And God said, I need something. Help me out right here. I'm sinking. I was going to get a steak after church. It's being reduced to lettuce. I can tell. I'm going to get a salad. The first thing God created was a sound. Because if God would have never said, there would have never been a heavens and the earth. And God had to open his mouth. Then when he put Adam in the earth, he looked at Adam and said, now, whatever you call it, that's what it'll become. You function just like I function. God did not speak just to communicate. He speaks to create. Hallelujah. Now, so sound precedes manifestation. We usually want God to bless, to fix, to heal, to deliver, and then we release a sound. Not understanding that it's backwards. In the kingdom, you release a sound while you're still bound. You release a sound while you're still sick. You release a sound while you're still in trouble. And when you release the sound, God rides on the sound that you make. Who am I talking to in this building? Is anybody here? Somebody who needs God to do something, I wish you'd just release a sound right now. Quit waiting for God to move, and then you praise him. Go ahead and praise him now, and then God will move on the sound of the praise you make. I came to this place tonight because there's a sound about to go forth that's going to change this region. Somebody shout amen with me. Hey, hallelujah. Is this all right? Is this okay, Pastor? All right, he said keep going. I'm going to keep going. Hallelujah. They praised and shouted, and when they shouted, then the walls fell. They released a sound first, then the manifestation followed the sound. Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He didn't say, I see rain, now I'm going to hear a sound. He said, I hear the sound, and then later on he saw the rain. Somebody, Jehoshaphat, they praised God. Then the enemy threw, God threw their enemies into confusion. The sound has to go out first. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Then tongues of fire came and sat on their head. The sound has to go out first. So what is it you're wanting in this church? You have to make that sound. Everything in life follows the sound it makes. Everything. You don't like where your marriage is headed? Change the sound. You change the sound, you'll change the direction of your marriage. You don't like being poor? Change the sound. You don't like being depressed? Change the sound. And whatever sound you make, then your life will begin to take on the direction of that sound. You got to take on a prosperous sound. You got to take on a healed sound. You got to take on a great marriage sound. You got to take, I got a sound mind sound. You got to take on a joyful sound. When you begin to make a sound, your life will begin to follow the sound that you make. Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm talking about? Sound is so powerful, and the power of the tongue has so much life. I'll go this far. I'll push the envelope this far. Whatever you speak to will continue to live. Whatever you quit talking to will die. You want your past to go away? Quit talking about it. Because whatever you communicate with, you keep giving life to. Jesus was hanging on the cross, Pastor. Hanging on the cross. And there was his mother postured at the bottom of the cross. Oh, Jesus, please don't die. Oh, Jesus, please. She was watching her baby die. And finally, Jesus says, John, behold thy mother. Son, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. Woman, behold thy son. Do you know what he's saying? John, get mama out of here. Because she was his only connection to the flesh. Jesus was not born of the seed of a man. He was born of the seed of the Holy Ghost. So his only connection to the flesh was wooing him back to life. And he knew as long as he heard mama's voice, he couldn't die.
You know, what comes out of your mouth is important. What you release out of your mouth is very important. The Bible says we can't even come to know the Lord unless we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you've never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you need to start right there. Then you can release the sound of an abundance. You can release the sound of revival. You can release many different sounds. But today, let's start with confessing Jesus as Lord. Would you pray this prayer with me? Just say, Dear Lord Jesus. That's right. Dear Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and use me for your glory. If you prayed a prayer like that, you've been born again. Text us, call us, come visit us here at Abba's House. We'll help you live free and fully alive.
To live free, what does it look like? Is it a feeling? An accomplishment? A dream, an adventure, hope for the future, wings to soar, bold new adventures, a life of overflow, a wild ride. Don't just wish for a life of freedom, do something about it. Order the messages from our 2018 Live Free Conference. Go online to ronniephillips.org. Freedom, it's yours for the taking.
Thanks for joining us today. Come experience a service at Abba's House in person any Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Ronnie and our staff would love to meet you and help you live free and fully alive.